I think I may email Bridget. If Bridget's listening, she offered to do a little special thing, some body work. Maybe I'll get on Skype with her over the weekend and do that. Let's see. My husband has very painful disc issues, and he's just been getting dry needling, which is like really intense acupuncture. He does the Dr. Cynthia Gokabi method, where they can release the muscles at such a deep level and then target the nerves underneath. Dr. Govavi is a Canadian doctor, very interesting and generous with her knowledge. Maybe ask a psychotherapist about it or speak with Dr. Govavi. He's made huge progress. Yeah, I don't know anything about that. Did we interview her? Yeah, I don't know anything about the dry needling. Sounds pretty fun. Nothing better than getting needled. Hi, good morning.
Hi, Patrick. This is John.
Hey, John. What's up, kid?
Hey, how's it going?
Well, we're just... It goes.
It goes? That's good news.
How's it going? It goes.
Oh, it's great, yeah. Another beautiful day here in the Big Apple.
Yeah, we had a little frost on the pumpkins here this morning, man. It was fun.
Oh, you did? Wow. Okay. Yeah. You must be enjoying the snow.
Well, I put a picture of it on the front page. You can see I looked out from my upstairs porch this morning. You can see all the frost.
Oh, yeah. Wow, that's amazing.
Isn't that pretty? Yeah. Yeah,
yeah, it's beautiful.
It was beautiful, yeah.
Usually you don't have this. You don't have this type of snow.
No, we don't do winter here. We just don't do winter.
Don't.
this was a surprise. I woke up and I thought I was dreaming because it was all white outside. I go, oh, noodle, look. And
yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, it was really, really good.
Yeah. Do you think that this is going to be a colder winter? Or
I don't know. No. You know, I just don't know. I remember when I used to have Jazzy Boy, the cat, who, you know, she came in and out of the doggy door too, and I could generally tell the kind of winter we was going to have by how thick her coat got.
Right.
Yeah, because she just knew, right? Now, Doodle's inside.
They know.
Yeah, Doodle's inside so much, so she does. But the cats knew. I could just look at her and say, oh, going to be cold winter.
Yeah, sounds pretty amazing.
Yeah.
So you won't have to come up north for a taste of winter. You can just stay where you are.
I can just stay where I am. Yeah, I'm thinking about take Doodle and I drive up to see family in St. Louis before Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So are you going to take some days off from the broadcast?
Yes, 1,000 times yes. You know, I don't do vacations very much. You know, it's crazy. What am I doing? 10 years every day.
You need a break.
You think?
Yeah. Gee. In the meantime, there's plenty of amazing shows in the archive that we can listen to.
2,500, yeah. You can go back and go crazy. And Sharon she'll probably put a different one up every day when I'm gone. She's going to help out. She's such a lovely girl. And
What's great is, like, you know, when you have like Dr. Massey and the other shows, what happens is you mention some older shows, and then we can go back and go back to the archive and listen to that. So I think one of the ones that was mentioned in the last show was Annette Faneuil. That was really amazing.
Yeah. That's the methodology that Bridget knows that she wants to work with me on Skype.
Oh, yeah.
Annette Faneuil. How do you say it? Faneuil, something like that?
Yeah. Annette Faneuil.
Yeah.
Faneuil.
Yeah.
And after the Dr. Massey show, I went back to the archive and listened to it. And she actually went into a lot of the, you know, her philosophy and her methodology and technique about movement. And it was very interesting because what she advocates is to do a lot of movement that you're not used to, and that kind of stimulates the brain development.
Right.
You know, because like every time that you do a new movement, it kind of creates the connection between the brain synapses, and then, you know, your brain kind of tells the body, kind of learns how to better efficiently utilize the body movement.
Right, yeah. Adam talks about that, where you just do free-form dancing. So you just get your favorite music and you just go bonkers, you know, you just go bonkers. And your body really likes to all those different movements. I think I'm going to do that after the show, get some music and just go bonkers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's why I think it's good to, I think in the show, Anat was saying that you like when you do yoga, a lot of people, they just repeat the same exercises over and over again. Like, let's say they do, like the upward dog and downward dog and all of these poses over and over again, because that's the way that they've always been doing it. But what she suggests to do is actually do it wrong, just kind of completely mess it up a few times that you can know like how it feels like when you're doing it incorrectly. And then when you do it correctly, you have a better perspective of, what's the difference between a correct and an incorrect posture or position, so that your body becomes more intelligent in terms of movement.
Yeah, I get that. I think I really do get that. There's a lot to that.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I think a lot of people, like when they, have a accidental, some sort of injury, is because like they're not as conscious about their movement. On a day-to-day basis, they kind of live too much in their mind and in their head, and they're not completely connected to the body. And, let's say if you're, I think one section she was saying, like, you know how when people lift a very heavy object, like a suitcase, mm-hmm. and then they pull their back or something. But it's not because they pulled, like, that at that moment, they extended too much and they hurt themselves. It's because they were unconscious of their movement all along. So that, that's just kind of the ultimate point at which that happened, right? If they were more conscious about their movement, they would have known that they should be more careful with, lifting such an object.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's like, as the more that we become more conscious of our movement, I think it's kind of a, a beneficial effect on our everyday movement.
Well, I've sure noticed here with this particular episode, John, that it's crazy. I mean, I can work on my neck and feel relief in the piriformis. I mean, what's up with that? Mm-hmm. It's like, whoa, pretty fascinating. Yeah.
So now when you're in terms of the pain level, what like from 1 to 10, how much?
Oh, I've been having moments this morning of 8s.
Really?
Oh wow. Man, I tell you, it's intense. Have you ever had this sciatica piriformis thing?
No, I haven't. I pulled a muscle.
It's like a hot poker that's right in there and doesn't leave. It's just,
Is it related to the psoas muscle?
It is. Yeah. They're all related, right?
Right.
But
it's like all intertwined between the leg muscle.
Everything.
And I see. I got it. Yeah.
I found out through my bodywork guide that my issue has been over the years, my right side is what's tighter, right? My right side.
Yeah, right.
And then that, it expresses itself on the left.
Oh, okay. I see.
Because the right side is a female side, right? So it's about a girl, whatever.
Right,
And then it shows up on the left and people say, oh, it's my left side. But it's really the right side where I do the work. But I tell you what, I've got about 3 or 4 different exercises now for the piriformis psoas, both of them, from 2 or 3 mm-hmm. different people that I've been doing every day. And I'm just going to keep doing them. And I'm going to do them every day because I don't want to do this again. I'm done. No, stop it. I'm done.
Yeah.
No, this is it.
Yeah, I think what you mentioned with Robert, I think I agree with you, is that everything is on a more spiritual level. It's connected to the spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical, because I don't think anything is purely physical.
Oh, it can't be. No, it's just not.
I agree with you. It's just not.
I'm sorry. It's just not. This is a... We are a spiritual, right, being in a body, in my opinion.
Yep.
We have a mind. We're not the mind. We have emotions. We're not the emotions. And we have a physical body, and we're not the body. But it's all crunched together like Super Crunch cereal, gluten-free, and it's all one big glob. And you can't do one thing without affecting everything. You just can't. You can't.
Yeah, right.
You can't think about, wait a minute, I'm going to lose my job. And not affecting your body. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah, right.
It just doesn't happen. I'm sorry. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah, I think also, you know, in the healing part, it also incorporates all four of these.
Correct. That's right.
So you have to heal yourself spiritually. If you just fix the physical thing, then it may come back.
It will come back.
You didn't fix the underlying, like the problems on the other plane.
But so, well, you know what's funny, John, that, and we've mentioned this before, that oftentimes you can do things on the physical that will give you the relief or the wherewithal or the positive kind of state of consciousness that allows you to go deeper. So these physical things are fun and important and valuable, right? They really are. Does that make sense?
Yeah, very, very valuable.
Yeah, you can use them as tools, but what I see happening when we do physical things like self or anything like that, people will actually detox different emotions where they don't really understand that they are, but they are. Because you might have an experience where, you know, you take sulfur for a couple months and you're detoxing some heavy metals and stuff like that, and all of a sudden you have a little thing with Uncle Harry and you work something out, right, that you and Harry have been arguing for 2 years. But you don't connect it with the sulfur, but the sulfur helped. But it all works together at some point. It all comes together. Does that make sense?
Yeah, the sulfur is like a catalyst.
It could be a catalyst, right. Yeah, could be a catalyst, right. Or whatever, whatever you're doing, food, sulfur-bearing foods for your thyroid too, but then the thyroid is also involved with, are you doing your dream? Are you speaking your truth? You know, are you using free will? All that stuff. So it could all support, they say as above, so below, but also sometimes as below, so above, it can work to help.
It goes both ways.
Goes both ways, right. Boy, I'm so glad we're so smart we got this figured out. What else are we going to do now the rest of our lives? That's right. I mean, I don't know what we're going to do here. We got it all figured out. How?
Right. But I think it's still good that, people are dialing in and emailing with their different ideas, right?
Like, oh, yeah, it's all
things
good.
Things that may help.
Yeah.
Like, have you tried the tapping solution? I think the demonstration, when they do the tapping, it actually reduces the pain level down to a manageable level.
I did. A friend of mine who's an expert EFT, I was on the phone with her about 3 or 4 days after this happened, and we did a whole one-hour session on EFT and tapped it. But it didn't.
Okay.
But, who knows how much it did help. I mean, maybe you tap it, do the EFT, and maybe 2 weeks later, it helps you to bring stuff. Yeah, because you don't know. Right. We don't know.
Nothing is immediate.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
Yeah, as long as you're on the right path, on the right track, you're doing the right things. I think eventually, everything adds up. Everything contributes to the healing.
That's right. You're unwinding it. Yeah, you are unwinding all the time, and you are getting healthier all the time, which I keep talking to my body, right? So I try not to whine. I just say, okay, I'm getting better. I'm getting healthier. This is okay. I feel like, whoa, this is not good. But hey, it's okay. Yeah, I love you and whatever. And I just focus on that and must I can.
Yeah, I think that's God, definitely on the right track.
Because God doesn't like whiners, because we created it. So, I'm just kidding about that. But you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
That's
great, man.
Yeah. Oh, I just wanted to mention the show that you did with Dr. Mark Serkis was amazing.
It was really cool, man.
Yeah, it was a really great show.
Did you take a look at that oxygen bag or that what is it called? The hydrogen bag thing? I want to get one of those.
Mhm. Yeah, right. So I think the main idea is that people focus on the oxygen, but it's really the combination of gases that's important: oxygen, hydrogen, and carbon dioxide.
So what we're talking about is he gave a website, and I went to it. It was like 1,300 bananas, man, and
it's this
huge bag, and it comes with a mask, right? So what you got to have is an oxygen concentrator, which I have. I've had it for years, 10 years. And it produces 10 liters of oxygen. You pump it into this bag, and somehow it does the whole oxygen, hydrogen, CO2 thing. and then you put the mask on, and then you rebound or treadmill or do something. And,
oh, okay.
And he said it's like the bomb, you know. So.
Oh, because you're incorporating more CO2 and hydrogen into the into what you're breathing.
Correct.
Okay.
But you have a mask and not a cannula like I have now with the concentrator, so you really get the full force of your breathing out and breathing in. It's going back in. Does that make sense? So your CO2, it's all being recirculated in this big bag. So I hope Santa Claus is going to bring me one of these bags for Christmas. I put that on my list.
But something that's more practical.
That's,
I think Adam described a breathing into a paper bag.
That's right. You could just use the paper bag thing. That's right.
Yeah, the paper bag thing, right? Because then you can breathe in more carbon dioxide.
Hey, Adam, if you're listening, would you call your favorite number and maybe give us a little update on this whole hydrogen, oxygen, CO2 thing with your understanding, and maybe could help explain a little bit more of that.
Yeah.
Because, he says to breathe into a paper bag, right? Being a paper bag?
Yeah, if you just breathe through a paper bag, then you kind of concentrate the carbon dioxide, and it's a very easy way for anyone to do it. Right, like you can just breathe more carbon dioxide.
So Santa Claus is probably going to bring me a paper bag and not that big bag. Here you go, kid. This is cheaper. Here, take this paper bag. He said, I didn't have $13,000. I didn't $1,300. Here, take this paper bag. You'll be fine.
You know. Take the paper bag. This is good enough. Right. I'm also wondering, like, if you know how some of the breathing exercises.
Yeah.
You know, they when you retain the breath, like let's say if you hold it, like you breathe in and out really deeply, and then when you hold the breath, does that also have the similar effect?
I don't know.
Kind of keeps the carbon dioxide in your bloodstream.
Well, it must. You know, Adam was saying that if you could work up to, and I've been playing around with this the last week, and it's pretty trippy to do. Where they say if you breathe out for 15 seconds, real slow, right? Then you hold right? You hold 15 seconds.
Hold it. Uh-huh.
And then
hold
you breathe in for 15 seconds. You hold that for 15. Now, you could start with 5, because 15, it's tough. But it's kind of a Buteyko kind of thing that's very, very healing for the body. And I suspect it's the, I don't know, maybe you're holding in the CO2. I don't know.
Yeah, right. So maybe that's a similar principle where... you know, you're training your body to hold more CO2 in the body.
Yeah. And Al Gore will like it because, right, you're holding in the CO2 and not warming the globe.
Exactly. That's right?
So Al should be happy. Right. So, I mean, if Al's happy, I'm happy. So that.
I think Al Gore will be happy about that.
Oh, yeah. He'll be terribly happy, you know.
Yeah. Good. Yeah, that's wonderful. Yeah, I was also looking at, you know, remember he was also talking about this machine that creates hydrogen and oxygen in the water?
That's right. And they're what, like $2,000 or something?
Like the 2500 one.
Mm-hmm.
And actually he mentioned the inventor of that machine, George Wiseman. And he was, and actually Ken Rolla mentioned him on one of his shows. He's kind of this inventor guy who comes up with a lot of this free energy technology and also you know, a lot of like the hydrogen technology. So maybe you know, you can look into having him on the show. Maybe.
What's his name? Wiseman?
George Wiseman. Yeah, his website is Eagle Research.
Oh yeah, that's maybe that's the place where Dr. Serkis recommended you buy one of these machines, Eagle.
Exactly,
Research.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's where George is.
It's actually produced by George Wiseman, who's an inventor and researcher of a lot of different these esoteric topics like the energy and hydrogen and all this. And if you go to his site, he actually has a lot of information about a lot of really interesting science and, you know, like kind of free energy and engineering information there.
Right. I'm on his website now. And the model that Dr. Serkis recommend is AquaCure, and it's 2,500 bananas. Wow! But it's a what is it? John, is it an oxygen Does it make
the oxygen? I think it breaks. It's an electrolysis machine where it breaks down the water H2O into oxygen and hydrogen.
Ah.
So you can kind of capture that. You can kind of capture that all those different gases.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think the machine also then blends the hydrogen back into the water. So you have high hydrogen water.
I see. So now, but Patrick Flanagan's product, that does similar thing, doesn't it?
I think it's a different principle, because here you're actually using electrolysis.
Oh, no, but I mean just in general, overall, doesn't Patrick Flanagan's two products bring more hydrogen? Isn't that the principle behind those two famous ones he sells?
I thought Dr. Sirkis mentioned that it's a different process.
Oh,
I think it also does it, but it does it in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because it's like more of a, if you add a substance to water, it's more of a chemical process, whereas this is more of a, physical, like a physics process where you're utilizing electrolysis to break out the mm-hmm. water.
Ask and you shall receive. Here is Adam. Hi, Adam.
Revis Moan on the Revis Cullen. It's a conference call.
We have a conference call.
I can hear both of you.
Hi, Adam.
Adam, tell John and I about this whole, give us your little, talk to us like we're a golden retriever or a small child so we can understand on the whole hydrogen, oxygen, carbon dioxide thing. And I got to step away from the mic a minute, but just talk to John and the people, and I'll hear.
All righty. Carbon dioxide drives oxygen deeper into tissue without converting it into free radicals. That's why a lot of people who get oxygen when they go to the hospital actually have brain damage. They may not notice it, but it's minor brain damage every time you do it. And a lot of oxygen, the outcome in a hospital when you give oxygen to the person, they get infections, they get all kinds of things, and they never attribute it to it. Even in the hyperbaric chamber, all they have to do is add 5% carbon dioxide, and they're fine. They used to even go up to 7% hydrogen peroxide. Heard of that,
John? So the gas should be, what you're saying is that in the hospital, they should give a gas that's balanced between oxygen and carbon dioxide, so about 95% oxygen and 5% carbon dioxide?
That's about it. That's what they're 5 to 6%, and they used to do 7, but I think they've figured out that 5 to 6% is the best. Otherwise, you get brain damage, and they're like partners. It's yin and yang, and carbon dioxide does the structural building of our body actually by converting it into fats and everything else with hydrogen mm-hmm. and with oxygen. But oxygen by itself is dangerous. They always say it's got that two-edged sword thing, it gives us free radicals and can kill us, and at the same time, necessary for life. So when you breathe it in, it's always good to have a little carbon dioxide that's in the atmosphere already to go into your lungs.
Is it also the same principle? How the marathon runners, they train in very high altitudes where there's less oxygen? Is it because in the higher altitudes you have more carbon dioxide, and then it allows the athlete's body to utilize the oxygen more effectively?
They attribute the pressure, but actually it is the carbon dioxide that makes the difference. And now they're even using, when they go like climbing Everest and they used to give oxygen, they accidentally found that what was recovering the person is they put a bag over their head with the oxygen. They generated all this extra carbon dioxide. So sometimes they find all they need is a little extra carbon dioxide at altitude because there's minor pressure to drive it, and then the carbon dioxide drives the oxygen in without any oxygen.
Oh, I see. Right, right. So what do you think about Dr. Sirkis also talked about breathing in hydrogen. What do you think about that? Because I thought that hydrogen is an explosive gas, so is it safe to breathe in hydrogen?
I think it should be combined with something because we do have a little bit in the atmosphere, true. It usually forms water in our body. Interesting enough, Swami Nitty Gritty used to say hydrogen is desire, nitrogen is will, and oxygen is consciousness. And willpower, then, is a combination of hydrogen and nitrogen. Anyway, they all work together.
So what Swami Nitty Gritty is saying is that you kind of need a combination of all the gases, not just pure oxygen, because that would be in itself dangerous.
Exactly. And it is, and people don't realize it. Like, I was a big fan of hyperbarics, and I still am, but now I realize that a lot of times they just use pure oxygen. They have ways of pressurizing air, which is probably a good choice. Mm-hmm. And in an old popular science magazine, somewhere like 1935, they actually did a test with laboratory animals. And after a matter of days of keeping them on pure oxygen, they became very ill. And even with carbon dioxide and some of the others, they found out that argon and the unsociable gases, supposedly, neon and stuff, were actually required for life over a longer period of time, which I found quite interesting.
So, Adam, when you hold your breath, like John and I were talking about, you know, where you breathe out and you hold in, is that driving more carbon dioxide into your is that why that's beneficial?
More oxygen, actually.
More oxygen.
It gets the oxygen to the right place. When oxygen goes to the wrong place, it's called free radicals and brain damage. So actually, it prevents brain damage, and it's actually, by breathing slower, you actually help prevent Alzheimer's and Parkinson's and Huntington's and all of those type of diseases.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
What do you think about breathing into a paper bag? Because I know you mentioned the exercise where you say you can just breathe into a paper bag to get more concentration of carbon dioxide. Do you think that's a beneficial exercise to do?
Excellent for stress, but it can actually bring on a midday heart attack.
Oh, well, good.
Which is usually too much carbon dioxide, but at night, when they give oxygen to a person for a heart attack, they actually can kill them. And when I first learned that from Nitty Gritty, we had a guy who had worked on ambulances, and he said they kept losing so many people at nighttime that they didn't lose during the day, so it resonated with him.
Wow. So you only want to do the paper bag thing at night?
The nighttime is best. Mm-hmm. And I recently found some literature on that, and actually right after sunset, or actually about 6 o'clock, kidney time or so, that's the time, and you can go at it till about 4 in the morning.
Wow.
Then, magically, and you can find this in weather reports, nitrogen turns off, basically, and you activate the oxygen and the hydrogen at dawn. Interesting, hydrogen is red in the spectrum of Gaudioli's color spectrum, and including Nadano's. And so it changes like that. So your highest amount of oxygen seems to be at stomach time at 7. It has another curve and gets high at 12 noon. And then about kidney time to circulation sex time again. And then it drops down again, and you get the carbon dioxide places.
So Adam, what would be the benefit of doing breathing into a paper bag kind of thing after 6 p.m.? I mean, how would we benefit from that? Would it just drive more CO2 or healing modality into the body or the muscles? Could I use that on muscle, like pain stuff?
Yeah, you could actually use it on pain, too, because carbon dioxide is an anesthetic.
Oh, I need that.
You don't hear them doing it much, but I've read some of the old medical books, and they used it consistently. Now they use more toxic chemicals for that.
I'll be done. So maybe tonight I'll
try
that.
Carbon monoxide is the enemy of that. That causes brain damage.
Carbon dioxide.
Of course, you can get too much carbon dioxide. The percentage is about 5 to 6%, they've worked out, that is the best, and you pretty much generate that with the bag. And by the way, you know, we're just about to be evacuated here from the fires, you know.
Really?
We're right in the line of them.
Really?
And so we've been wearing those masks to go outside.
Yeah.
And they restrict the breathing. So I realized, we've got a tool to use this after this is all over to, in the evening, instead of a paper bag, we just put one of these masks on, pinch the nose, and breathe in extra carbon dioxide.
Well, when you're doing the paper bag thing at night, I mean, how would you know, how long would you do it if you want to experiment with it for pain or, I don't know?
I use it just for, you know, a few minutes,
okay.
5 or 6, but
okay.
You could use it. There's people who use it longer. And I find it's also, actually, it's a well-known remedy for stress. I wouldn't worry about using it at high noon just to bring the stress level down, but I wouldn't use continuous use of it during the day because of that extra oxygen can be a problem.
Yeah, nothing worse than if your heart attacks you. You know, you don't want to do that.
Yeah.
It's like,
too,
well, my heart attacked me. What am I going to do here? Oh, my God.
And how about the breath retention technique? So I think Patrick was mentioning you would breathe in slowly for 15 seconds and hold your breath for 15 seconds. In that period when you're holding the breath, you also have more carbon dioxide in the body during that period
exactly.
of time when you're holding the breath.
It's just like the paper bag, and even better once you get control over it like that.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So would you say that would be
Kriya yoga, they call it.
Than using a paper bag? Just try to retain the breath or just hold the breath.
Yeah, oh yeah. Just by slowing the breathing down, that's a benefit of Buteyko breathing too, you know, where you slow the breathing down. I prefer to do it by meditation because it automatically slows your breath down than seem to force it. But they both work. It's kind of a matter of taste. The Buteyko works for a lot of people. I just prefer to meditate and the breath slows down automatically. I like that.
And that's part of Kriya Yoga is the holding on the out-breath and the in-breath. That's part of what Kriya Yoga does?
Yep, and on the pause. In other words, they pause at the top and pause at the bottom
right.
of the breath.
Right, yeah.
Some just pause one way, but the way I learned from Nitty Gritty was hold on both ends. He called it the therapeutic breath because it worked on you for whatever ailed you.
Did he switch it from nostril to nostril or just both nostrils in and out?
He showed us a technique doing that, too. We would do it
he could
still
either way.
15, exactly.
Uh-huh.
And when we meditated,
yeah,
what
was the purpose of that pranayama? That's also a good question, like the alternate nostril breathing. What's the benefit of that?
Well, philosophically, it's to take all your karma away. It supposedly takes a million breaths like that, and there's actually what they call resonations. The first breath and the last one don't count, so it's the middle breaths that do. Nitty Gritty used to call it Chinese mathematics. And according to Yogananda, it took a million breaths if you were a Dumkopf to get to self-realization, but you never knew what degree you had worked out already to do that. Practically, though, it's just really good for your health.
Oh, it's really good to do the alternate nostril thing.
Ultimately, according to Donald Lay, if you could hold your breath for 15 minutes, then you were a swami. If you could do it for an hour, then you were a paramahansa. If you could do it for 2 hours, you were a siddhi yoga. And if you could hold it for 12 hours, you were a ascended master. And if you could hold it for 24 hours, you were a descended master, like Neo could come and go in the Matrix.
My Uncle Tony, he held his breath for 12 hours, but then we went to his funeral, so I don't know.
That happens sometimes. I hate it when that happens.
Look at Tony. He looks so great. Oh, doesn't he look good? Let's have a drink. That's funny. Well, Adam and John, great stuff. Good job. Good job, John. You got to just host a show sometime, and I'll just lay around and listen.
Oh, it'll be a pleasure. Yeah, it's a pleasure.
You did great.
Talking to two esteemed individuals. Thank you very much.
You did great. All right, guys, thanks a lot. I'm going to kind of wrap things up here. Always a good. So, Adam, before you go, and John, hang in for a minute if you want to hear, what's the deal on these fires? Are you guys going to have to exit the building with Elvis or what?
Well, fortunately, we had a little lull in the wind. I mean, we're all packed up. We got boxes all around
I'll
here
be,
ready to go.
I'll be
Vibrant
done.
Gal has her her vehicle all packed up, mostly.
Yeah.
And I've got mine all at the door ready to go out there. But we had a lull in the Santa Ana winds that have been ferocious. They've actually been going out to Catalina and taking park benches and throwing them in the ocean. They're so bad, and you get sandblasted at the beach.
Wow.
The surfers love it.
Wow.
But the winds, it actually, we have now burned for this, the Thomas fire here, 135,000 acres.
No.
Can you imagine?
I didn't realize it was that big. Well, 135,000 acres.
Burning an acre a second.
And it's still going?
Oh, yeah. Oh, man, is it going.
Wow.
You can go on the internet and see. There's one guy, he stopped on 101 when they open and close it regularly because the fire is burning all the way from Ventura up here for 20 miles. It's all there. But he jumped out of his car and saved the bunny.
I saw that. Yeah, I saw that on Drudge. Yeah, Drudge has that video. It was amazing. This guy pulls out, and he saves a bunny. It was just great. God love him.
That's only about 20 miles from here, yeah. And so, the fire is coming up this way. It's now at the Santa Barbara County line. And one of the things is this season usually doesn't have fires, so the contract for the big planes that drop the water is out. They can't get a hold of any of those planes. They don't like to say that. To worry the people, but the plane contract is out. They're all gone to Canada.
So if you guys have to go, where will you go?
That's a good question, because we may have to leave for as much as two weeks here, is what they're warning people. So we're thinking of visiting some friends of ours about 100 or so miles away. Otherwise, the only option is camping at the beach, which is not too...
Well, we got plenty of room here. Tripping Springs, come on down. So you mean some of these expensive homes like Oprah and all these people you talk about there and your places, there actually could get burned?
450 have burned, and Rupert Murdoch's mansion burned down.
We
have
that.
Fires all over. There's now two down in San Diego County. There's two in L.A., the Selmar one and the Creek one, I think it's called. And then we have the Thomas one up here. We had two start. It is dry as a tinderbox here, and these winds, which are with us now for at least another week, are just, you drop a match and boom, it explodes.
Wow.
The sagebrush actually explodes with flames up to 200 feet in the air. Then these embers just go floating for miles and land on people's homes.
So there's just it's just too big. There's just not enough fire trucks and stuff. You just can't. It's just going to kind of work itself out. I'm sure they're doing everything they can.
Well, when you have gusts that go 55 to 75 miles an hour, helicopter can't get in there at night when that happens.
Wow.
They can only get in when it slows down. But now that it's slow, they have a break. So they're trying to make a block at the Santa Barbara County line, so that the fire doesn't get over there. We'll see what happens. But the winds are starting again tomorrow. Again, more of these Santa Ana winds, they call them.
So is it threatening Hollywood at all down that way?
Well, it was close with
Murdoch.
Where Rupert, that's on the Pavlovsky Boulevard, the 5 freeway, and you go over about, it's 1 mile from UCLA, which is only about 5 or 6 miles from Hollywood, yeah.
Wow.
But I think they've got that one under control because they even have drones now to fight fires down there. L.A. is pretty progressive. But, again, their contract ran out for the big they could have got it out a lot sooner. And I think it's still burning. It's just contained better. Ours is only 10% contained after 3 days.
It's just amazing.
So, anyway, we're going to keep our stuff packed up here until we get the final word or until some rain comes or some humidity in the air.
Wow. Just... It's biblical kind of thing, right? This is a biblical.
It really is. Man, the place is exploding here. You drop a match, and then you got a fire before anyone can stop it. Yeah, it's serious business. The whole of California. And there's actually a new fire starts in Southern California now every day.
No kidding. So the embers are floating out. They float, and then they just pop, huh?
Yep. Some people are smart enough to be watering their roofs, you know, perpetually, which is a smart thing to do because the embers just start. You'll have a house burn, and then three houses don't burn, and then another one. And some of it, in fact, you may have seen on the news, five teenagers went to this house and just decided to save it. So they got the hose and started squirting it down, and actually it was the only one not burned down in the neighborhood.
I'll be darned. I'll be done. I saw where there's a lot of horses and thoroughbreds. They're real rich and famous, went to heaven through this thing, too. Wow.
Yeah, sure did. And we're out here now. The air quality is so bad. The air is going up to San Francisco. We, to go outside, need to wear a face mask. The sun is bright red. The moon is bright red. And you may have seen the picture on the social media, too, of the Carpinteria Beach, where I used to manage a health food store. It looked like Mars. It wasn't through a filter. It's bright orange.
Wow.
The sky, the beach, the ocean, orange.
Hmm. Well, what a way to go burn up your karma, man. It's pretty... Whoa.
That's right. I got everything important that I thought. At least we had time to pack. Some people, the original thing when it started, it was way over in Santa Paula, and it blew over about 10 miles in a matter of a few hours. You know, this stuff really travels when the wind blows. But we've had some relief here, and where we're at, the wind's been pretty decent. It can still spread because it's so dry, but we don't have that... like it's 10 miles away, and 1 hour later, it's right in your doorstep.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe Oprah has like a bomb shelter with video games and stuff in there, you know, that you can go visit.
She needs one. That'll give us a little extra status. They'll work harder to save the mansions in this neighborhood is what we're hoping.
Well, you take care of yourself. You watch out. And let us know, you know, shoot us an email here in the, you know, next week and let us know how things are so we don't concern ourselves over you.
Will do. Okay. Thanks, Patrick.
Take care.
Thanks, John.
Take care,
Adam.
John, see you later, brother. You take care of yourself, okay? Oh, he hung up too. Everybody just left me out here. Wow. Man. Amazing. Jeffrey says that there's some H2 gas at bars in Japan. I tried to Google it and think they're suppressing it. Yeah, I'm not sure. Well, I think I need to go here. I've been doing this so for every 15 minutes. I'm gonna keep doing it. I don't know. It could help, right? Do another one here. Yeah, let's just kind of wrap. I got all kinds of emails, but it's been 3 hours and I didn't even feel. Isn't it funny? You just focus in on John and Adam and you guys and didn't even feel the pain. And as soon as you know, there's a lot to it that I think that pain and things in our body are just thought forms. And if we don't focus in on them, that they don't exist. And that's my current theory. I don't know really how to figure that out exactly yet, but I will. That's what we're on to. Yeah, it was funny. I'll always remember, you know, when I did the near-death experience, that I just call it that. I wasn't sick or anything. I just left. And I was in the tunnel in 83 in the light, and it was totally cool and amazing. Never felt the bliss and happiness and the freedom. Just, oh, man. So if dying in is anything like that, man, just you're going to have a good time when our time comes. Anyway, but I'll always remember that I telepathically, I was with, that I now know was my spiritual guide who's with me today, has been with me for lifetimes, that I didn't realize it was, it's not really him, it's a state of consciousness then, but now I know because it's the same vibe, the same everything that I experienced in that, you know, 25 years ago. Anyway, so and I asked telepathically, well, what will happen then with my dog? I had a German Shepherd, and what's going to happen to her and my girlfriend and my mom and my dad and my brothers and sisters? What will happen to them? And I really asked telepathically, and the answer was, and it was, I always remember these words, is that they will not exist. They will not exist. And I think that's the principle, that the only reason something exists is because we enter into that state of consciousness. So when we are not in a state of consciousness of pain or the body, the only reason the body exists in reality is because we believe we're in the body. And I think that's what the yogis do and the spiritual masters do, that once we really get to the point that we know that we're really not the body and we're just playing around in here, you come and go, as we're all learning to do, then after a while, then the body will just hang out here as long as, because you're not even in there. And you just come and go, and like yogis have appeared, Yogananda, Paul Twitchell, and my teacher, Sri Harold Klemp, had experiences with Rebazar Tars, who has had his body probably a couple thousand years, or I don't know, and he would come into their room and just pop in there, and you can do that. You know, that kind of stuff is real, and it goes on, but that's another story. So anyway, so thanks for being here today. It was great fun. I got through it with your help, and all the, we appreciate your ongoing support of our products that we promote. If you want to get a rebounder, we got that, the really ultimate dude, the quarter fold, for the same price this weekend. You can order it, or order a sauna, $9.95. Don't forget, Living Libations is a great stop for some cool, gifts for people that are very unique. Very unique, totally organic. Also, if you shop through Amazon, and I'm thinking about going up to St. Louis later on in the month, but right before Christmas. So we'll be around for a while, and I'm sure I'll feel even better on Monday, because you know, this, we're just working it out. So thanks for your ongoing support. I love you all very much. You guys are the bomb, and. You just are. So I thought I'd play this. This is really a nice song, and I don't do a lot of Christmas stuff, but I like this one. I like this one. Ray Charles. Let's see if this will work.
Chestnuts roasting on open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe. You have to make the season right, yeah. Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow will find it hard to sleep. Santa's on the way. He's loaded lots of toys and goodies on the sleigh, and every mother's child is gonna spy. And so I'm on. switch from run to 92. Y'all get me? Oh, it's been said many times, many ways. Merry Christmas to you. Every mother's child is gonna spy to see if reindeers really know how to fly. And so I'm offering a simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92. I know. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Christmas. Good night, y'all.